I can't believe it. A real gourmet kitchen and I get to watch.
You've read my book. Let us see how much you know, huh? Which one is the chef?
Oh. That guy.
Very good.
Yeah. When the boss is away, the mice will play. Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkley Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. At Two Ratatouille, you know, if you're working for a failing restaurant, never mind the NSA. Better be worried about Willie Deagle and his surveillance cameras watching you. Yeah, we've been waiting for this. On social media, people are excited. The Fab Breakout Food Network star Willie Deagle will be joining us in a moment. He has that great show, Restaurant Stakeout, where he goes into these failing restaurants, sets up surveillance cameras, and finds out what the heck is going on when the boss isn't watching. Hard to believe the boss doesn't know. I know those are the recurring themes on our Twitter feed. By the way, if you're listening live on Monday, March 24th, 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east, you can still join us via Twitter at AB Writes or on the studio line, 347-857-4505, if you have questions for Willie. The show is fabulous. He's got this great big personality that he has been, all this great energy that he has put to work for years as an entrepreneur, entrepreneurial spirit as a kid, had paper route at a young age, got into fixing cars, loved the restaurant business because his uncle and late godfather would regale stories of a speakeasy they ran, and learned how to cook from his dad, put it all together, and has learned his trade, making some mistakes along the way, and now runs the well-respected, popular restaurant steakhouse chain, Uncle Jack's Steakhouse in New York City, may become a nationwide chain pretty soon, also in the home design business, so talk about lots of energy. He sure has it. Willie, I'm so happy you're here with us. I know you're in the middle of taping the new season for the Food Network, which will be on later this spring or early summer. So thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem, Amy. Glad to be on.
Glad to have you here. Talk a little bit before we get into the show about your own journey. You have started at a young age. You wanted to be an entrepreneur. Your dad imbued you with a lot of values for business and cultivating your own business. Where did it all come from?
It started, you know, my father worked two jobs his whole life, so I saw how he managed his time and how he valued it. And being a worker, I always said to myself, I saw it, and I said, you know what, my dad's paid for his time. I'm going to make sure that basically I'm a boss and I value my time at different levels, and I'm going to control my life so I can be around more when I have, you know, kids and a wife. Because I always missed my dad, and I didn't like that when I played baseball or sports or at my school events, he was never around.
He couldn't be working, yeah.
And I wasn't mad at him because of that. I respected and loved my dad. He was my Superman, you know, but I just said, wow, you know, it'd be great if he could be there.
Right, there could be another way, and you found the other way. You worked. What was the attraction to the restaurants? I know you had an affinity. Talk about your godfather.
Yeah, well, growing up, and my mother's, you know, she's Irish and grew up in the West Side, Hell's Kitchen and the speakeasy and the bathtub gin and those stories. But it was funny, I wound up falling into it because I was buying, selling cars. I worked out a lot. I had a lot of friends who worked out. They were doormen or bouncers. And a friend of mine needed me to cover the door in this bar in Northern Boulevard in Queens. And I wound up going there and working for him. And I brought so many people there. The owner was like, wow, who are you? And the owner, Tom... It was funny, yeah. And I packed his place. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm this guy, and I know a lot of people, and I have a lot of friends. And, you know, for 2 weeks I told a lot of people about that I was going to be here. And the guy's like, you have a bartender? And I says, you know, not really. And that was it. And he called me up, and he offered me 4 nights bartending. And my father was dying of cancer in the hospital, and I was buying and selling cars. And I said, Dad, I think I could still buy and sell the cars, and then I could do this 4 nights a week, and I can build it up. And what do you think? And my dad's like, go for it. You know, you'll be fine, and you'll make a lot of money, you know. So my dad's always been my inspiration, along with my mother. My mother instilled, like, confidence in me and always to believe in myself. So, you know, and then I moved on from that.
You did. And you started a bar with your brothers, which didn't go so
well.
Yeah,
and then what happened in my a year after bartending, you know, every night I would close the business with the owner, Tom, and he had nightclubs and he had friends who came in at night, and they were all wealthy and had a lot of businesses, and I would talk with them and pick their brain and ask questions, and they saw the enthusiasm in me, and they always would say to me, oh, you're a lot like me when I was young. It's funny because anytime I met successful people, they would always say to me, you know, I see a lot of myself in you. So they really wanted to give me as much as they could, you know, and that's what I believe in life today. So many younger kids, they're know-it-alls. They think they saw it on the internet or they read it. They're not good listeners, you know, and they have a problem listening. And I always listened, and I wanted to learn, and if you could tell me exactly how you were successful, I'm going to listen. And then I wound up opening my own place. I took a biker bar that went out of business that the government closed down, and I negotiated a lease and built it and designed it and lived there and then opened it up and hired the staff and trained them. And then I opened the kitchen a year later, and I worked with cooks, and I cooked every day with short-order cooks and made a menu that worked off the hospital. And there was a car wash across the street, so I would do, if you got your car wash, a dollar ice cold beer and a $5 sandwich, and I would drive in 25 people a day from the car wash, another 25 from the hospital, and punch their lunch club card and get their fifth for free. And I kept building layers and layers of business. So get 50 lunches a day, 60 lunches a day. How do I get happy hour? How do I get the next thing? So I said, I'm paying the rent. I'm paying the people. The store's here. Let me keep maximizing it, you know?
Yeah, it's fabulous how you learned as you went. And key, as you said, was to listen and learn. I know you took on some people in the kitchen who kind of taught you more about how to make the meals, the mom-and-pop team.
I have so many of them. I mean, one of my old chefs, you know, this woman, Barbara, she was great. She's a Holstein cook. She just died like 6 months ago, and she was writing me from the old age home, I'm so proud of you. And I'm like, Barb, I loved you, because she would make the best, you know, onion soup. And, you know, her would work on sandwiches and different things, and people were working out. Even back then, we were doing like a grilled chicken sandwich 25 years ago, you know. So, because people were looking for that. All me and my friends worked out. So we wanted to eat healthier.
Yeah, so it's fabulous. That is a real key, though, to listen, and you always can learn, and that's the key. Like you said, a lot of people are closed off to that and learn from whoever you can learn from. And many
read books, and they think that's their guide. You know, now, I don't read books. I read people, and a lot of times you still have to take what you read in the book, and you still have to want to be listening to hands-on, you know. If you can read a book, How to Be the Best Baseball Player, does that mean you're going to get on the Yankees and not listen to Derek Jeter? You know, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, hello.
Exactly. So how did you take all this energy, and of course you have your Uncle Jack's Steakhouse, which we said, I think you're throughout New York City. Is it true that you're planning on going nationwide soon with that?
Yeah, well, basically, yeah. What I want to do is I want to open up with, like, bigger hotel companies and other restaurant groups, guys who are other entrepreneurs running other things, and maybe they want the high-end steakhouse theme, you know, so they'll cooperate it with me. That's what I'm looking to branch out, do joint ventures with that. And then I have the Jack Shack brand, and then I'm working on a you know, Uncle Jack's, like, grill tavern concept that's in between both of them.
Right, gotcha. Jack Shack is what, like a casual, quick?
Yeah,
it's an
organic and all-natural, fast, casual eatery. So it's like you order up at the counter. We custom make all the items. We have fresh-pressed juices, smoothies. We have tacos, fish tacos, steak, chicken tacos. We have salads. We have sandwiches, and we have burgers. And it's all done in a cool, recycled, you know, place, custom designed by me, every inch thought of, and the wordings and the ideas. And it basically, we personalize very healthy, smarter choice food, and you learn exactly where the food is comes from and how it's raised and cared for.
And where is the Jack Shack? Is that just
the first one is in Glenhead, Long Island, not far from my house, because I've been babying it, tweaking it, working it. We have choices of bread, white bread, whole wheat, multigrain, gluten-free items. So we're really working a niche, and we fine-tune it. Now we're going to be selling territories with the franchise, and we're waiting to get approved. And we're approved in about 2 weeks. We'll be able to start selling territories and opening more locations. So like a territory will consist of, you have the rights to say Manhattan, you have the rights to 10 Jack Shack. You buy that territory for $100,000, then your franchise fee is discounted from $40,000 to $25,000. So basically, once you open seven of them, you basically got your $10,000 territory for free. The average store will cost about $350,000 to $450,000, depending on where you open it. And the average store could do anywhere from $1 million to $2 million to $3 million a year, depending on your traffic. So your rate of return, you'll be a willionaire within your 6-7 stores, and that's what I want to build. I wanted to build an army of willionaires, people who've made millions in the William Jack Deagle system and philosophy.
Wow, I like that, Willionaires.
Yeah.
That's great. So talk about how you got into the Food Network, because you have this great show. I hear you got involved through an ad on Craigslist, is that right?
Yeah, it's a funny story, because everybody asks me, and it's funny, because, someone ran an ad on Craigslist for a tough boss, and 100 names came in. 95 of them were one-offs, and somebody was mentioned 5 times. So the 2 producers called the first person who's mentioned 5 times, obviously, and who do they call? They call me. So now I'm tough on them because I think they're a lawyer. I think they're trying to set me up, and they're trying to solicit and make money from me. So I do a background check on them. I find out who they are, and then I have a meeting with them.
Oh, that's so funny. You did a background check on the Food Network. I love it.
Yeah, but they weren't working with the Food Network at the time. They actually were working with any channel. They're producers looking for talent.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Oh, gotcha.
Then they were working with True TV, and then I walked away from True TV because I didn't like the circumstance of the show. So then I went to Food Network and basically pitched my concept and idea to them.
Oh, I got it. That's fabulous. So is it really – so do you do this – is this what you do in your own place? You have the surveillance cameras?
I have the cameras everywhere, if I had 5 stores, I would pay someone to watch them all the time. We utilize them for so many things. Not only that, they could track a mistake. You could see things. You could be in tune. You could be on red alert. And it's good for your staff to know you're watching, your care, your customers know. It's just a good thing. In today's world, with the distractions of staff, you have to stay on top of them. You got to get the most out of your employees while you're paying them. They got to stay focused on the guest and the job at hand. And then me as an owner, we got to do everything in our power to make sure we execute flawlessly.
So they know.
That's my job, right? That is your job.
But your staff, in your restaurants know that they're being watched, whereas when you go on the show, these people don't know that they're being watched.
No. I mean, listen, some of these places have cameras. They have systems in place. But the owners are clueless. A lot of people go into business today because they want to be a boss and they don't want to be a worker. But that doesn't necessarily mean they should be a boss. They don't know what it takes to be a boss.
Yeah. It's funny because one of the recurring questions that I see on the Twitter feed and social media when we were talking about you were coming on, first of all, a lot of people love the show because they said, oh, he's fabulous. But one of the questions we get recurring is this thing staged? Because they can't believe that people do some of the things they actually do. I mean, do you set it up like – a lot of reality shows get a bad rap because they're not necessarily scripted, but they kind of coax people into doing bad or stupid things.
Yeah.
Does that happen on your show?
No. I mean, bottom line is, I'm amazed. I just did an episode last week in Vegas, right? So – I'm looking at the owner and the wife, and I'm like, people say to me all the time, come on, Willie, they can't believe things are going on like this.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, every week, it's like, I can't believe you're an owner. I had to literally tell the owner, basically, you think you're this great operator. I meet you. You tell me you're fantastic, all this. I sit down with you. You stink. You're not an operator at all. Yeah, you can build a place.
Yeah.
You know how to cook, but you cannot operate anything. They had a girl with her pants down and her G-string hanging out like a plumber's crack, waitressing throughout the dining room, serving tables in a family-style restaurant.
Oy.
So
yeah,
I'm like, this is literally disgusting. And the husband's like, well, I told her a few times. And then the girl's like, well, the shirts aren't long enough to cover me, really. And the wife had the right idea. The wife is like, you tell her, but you don't care. It's like she could keep coming in like this. And then you don't fire her. You don't solve. You don't come up. And the number one thing, what's amazing to me is going through all these years of business and being an entrepreneur and being a risk taker, I've become a fantastic problem solver. I have a solution to everything extremely fast. It's the way I think.
Good instincts.
Yeah, I don't know how, but it's like sometimes I'm like, wow, how do I just keep doing this?
Well, it's funny because what I love is when you are watching the stuff behind the scenes with the owners, and sometimes you get so passionate about it, and they're sitting there like, yeah. I mean, you have more, as you would call it, a sense of urgency about the whole problem than they have.
Well, if you look at my show, like, you know, another thing, people go, oh, you don't fire nobody. So, you know, that's it. I'm like, I'm not here to fire people. First of all, I enjoy hiring people. I enjoy building an army. I love a team. I love projects. I want to win. So the more I fire people, I'm going backwards then, you know? So people fire themselves. And when I'm with the owners, I give them a game plan. They could see what's the difference between right or wrong now. I give them Willy vision. I show them. I teach them words and rules to live by, like the Ten Commandments. I tell them the Willy Commandments, discipline, accountability, execution, controls, right? So afterwards, a lot of them wind up firing people later on and replace people or move people up. A lot of times they got great talent in the stores and they're not moving them up to management, to executive chef, or putting them at the best hostess position or waitress. So it's like repetitive to me. Like I go to these same stores and I'm like, wow, I have to do the same thing over and over again. And then
you
I get
sometimes.
Frustrated.
I've heard you say to them, if it was me, I'd fire them. You know, you've done that a couple of times. A couple of times somebody does get fired. But when you have a phone call, let's say...
I know. I mean, I would fire him, but I can't go into a business that's already struggling and leave him with no people.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, what you do, which I think is great, is you try to help him infuse the energy into him and then to the staff, the urgency of what they have to do and why they have to do it, and try to retrain them and try to give them a chance to have... a better attitude. I think that's great.
Yeah.
A chance to have a second chance and say, okay, you don't know why you're doing it wrong. I'm going to tell you why, even though some of the things are pretty common sense, you would think.
Yes. It is, I mean, common sense, but how common is common sense?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
You're right.
So,
absolutely.
I mean,
people
walk into their business and outside is filthy, and they believe that the storefront and the outside is the landlord's responsibility, not theirs, because they're paying their rent. And I'm like, what? You're going to wait for the landlord to come out here and clean up?
Don't count on that. Yeah, exactly. Let's take a caller. Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling. You have a question for Willie or a comment?
I have a comment. I'm a great fan of Willie's. I think he's terrific, and I can't wait for him to come back to Food Network. I don't know why they don't have a marathon of his old-time shows so we can keep ahead of it, but I can't wait for him to come back. When is he coming back?
Well, we're in the process of filming now. We got 13 shows. 6 of them are going to be in Vegas, so we're trying to travel more. So I really don't know the start date. They don't release that yet to me, but I'm figuring maybe August or maybe July.
And why don't they show some of your older shows? They have Mystery Diners on. I don't want to say anything,
you know what?
But
I think they
can't compete
with you. I think they like to pull me away so you get hungrier for me, you know. I don't
your
run the network.
Your fans are hungry, Willie.
I guess that's what it is.
I
don't know. But I tell them people need their Willie fix. They like the energy, the positiveness. They like the no-hold-barred attitude, and let's every day take advantage and express what we want to do. And nobody's holding anyone back. See, today's society wants to blame everybody for everything. What I believe is you wake up every morning, the sun rises, and you control your destiny. So how much do you want to accomplish? What goals do you want to reach? Now let's get it done, America.
That's great.
I love
good
that.
Luck,
yeah.
Good luck with your Willionaires. I like that.
Oh, the
Willionaires. I like that terminology.
Yeah.
Good luck with your project. We're looking forward to it.
Thank you
and
very
much. I hope that you'll come up soon to Westchester.
Oh, yeah, we'll be up there soon. There's plenty of restaurants that need our help up there.
Oh, yes, definitely. Not only that, but I hope you open up a restaurant.
Yeah, well, we try. I'm so busy filming, being a dad, a husband. My kids are growing, building houses. You know, I want to build more restaurants. We're always looking.
Okay, lots of good luck to you, Willie. We love you.
Thank you, and God bless. Thanks for calling.
Right.
Thanks
bye-bye.
For the call. I appreciate it. Take care. We had a couple of restaurants that you took care of up in Westchester, and a lot of the New York area because that's where you're based. But now you're traveling a little bit more too.
The
other parts of the country, I guess, because there are a lot of failing restaurants, I suppose.
Yeah,
and
there's only so many states we can film in with hidden cameras.
Oh, is that true? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Okay.
There's some states don't allow it? Is that what it is?
Yeah, a lot of states. Majority don't allow it.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't realize that. Oh, so but New York, obviously, you had a lot in New York, so they do.
Yep.
That's interesting. But they don't have cameras in the courtroom in New York, do they? That's interesting. Just thinking, you know, you talk about court TV, they have certain states they can go to. How about Florida? Can you do it in Florida? Because Florida has those sunshine laws. They seem to have
cameras. You know, I don't know. I have to ask the producer that, but we'll send them an email. What states? I'll send my girl. She's here now. What states can we film in? I know a lot of people. I would love to do Florida. You know, I've been flying back and forth to Vegas. Vegas, the weather's so nice. I come back to New York, it's cold. I'm back there,
yeah.
Hot. I'm like, oh, my God.
They're staying in Vegas in the winter. Hopefully
yeah.
We're over it, although we have some maybe some bad weather coming.
Yeah, back in the day, I did those episodes in Vegas in the summer, 120 degrees. I was dying.
You want to be in Vegas in the winter and New York in the summer. Now, here's another question a lot of people ask. When you return, these people are in such bad shape. You go back usually like 6 weeks later,
yep.
And everything seems to be running fine. Is this really true, or is that, you know, doctored up for the show?
They're doing a lot better, but, you know, every store you go to, it's like I have to go in there with basically the layers. I keep layering things for them because some stores are worse than others. So you have to attack the worst problems right away. Like I look at a restaurant and I say there's a dam, right? So you got to fix the cracks because before you know it becomes a flood, right? You create a box. You teach the owner to look at it as a box. Look at your four walls, one way in, one way out. Create a mousetrap for your customers. Touch them on the way in, the way out. So it takes them time to get that, to get the right hostess, to get the right manager. But at least they're moving forward. They get a bartender in. And I stay connected to all of them. I give everybody my cell phone number. I send them out a book and guide of the 10 steps to the restaurant business my way. So they could keep getting to the next level and never stop. Because I tell them, you're as good as your last meal served. You're as good as your last lunch, your last dinner. So never stop looking at all your staff, making everybody better, adding more pieces to the puzzle. So 6 weeks later, yeah, they're better and they're doing better, but also people are intrigued to come see the changes, what's going on, is it going to be better? And some of them, 6 weeks later, 3 months later, you know, almost 10% of them closed down too. I mean, because those are the ones who really don't listen. They think, okay, I'll do what Willie says for a couple of weeks, and then it falls right back off. The staff sees you really don't care. You're letting things go on again. There's no accountability, you know, and before you know it, you're closing your doors.
Now, are those shows featured on the show, those stores, or you don't show them?
Well, no, they're not closed in 6 weeks, you know, but 2 or 3 months later, some of them close, yeah. Some of them will close 6 months later.
Are there ever any ones that you go to that you just can't, they're not receptive, so you don't wind up showing on the show?
No. I mean, I don't pick the stores. That's the production company. They deal with that. If I was producing the show myself, which I would want to do in the future, I would basically pick everything and be more controlling, but it would take more time, but I would build people around me that know my world and what I want.
Gotcha.
Because the worst thing is to go film with an owner who really don't care and just wants to be on TV. There's nothing more frustrating for me.
Well, yeah. You wonder why there is. That's a real fascination with our culture right now. Because as you said, it seems like people want quick fixes, and everybody seems to want to be on TV, even if they look like idiots. So, you know, I would say, why would you want to go on TV if you're gonna make yourself look like a fool? But unfortunately, it looks like a lot of people don't mind doing that.
Well, a lot of people want that, you know, I didn't go on TV to become some star, to become some flash in the pan. I went on TV to basically try and take people who watch the Food Network, who love our business and love and have passion towards cooking. I wanted to teach them the basic principles of running a business so they know how hard it can be.
Yeah.
Because so many angel investors mean friends and family and loved ones back someone who wants to cook, who wants to open a bar, or wants to open a restaurant, and they lose their money. That doesn't mean the person they invested in was worthless and wasn't good. It just means that they didn't have the infrastructure, the know-how. There's the back of the house. There's the front of the house. So it's a tough business. It takes a lot of pieces of a puzzle to work.
Yeah, no, it is a very tough business, and you show people that you break it down for them, but you can't give them the enthusiasm or, you know, the discipline to keep it going. You can try. You infuse as much as you can.
Yeah, it's almost like the Willie diet. You know, there's Dr. Phil, and now there's Dr. Will. So, you know, I'm putting them on a diet. It's a program for success. Are you going to listen to me? Are you going to stay the path? Are you going to look yourself in the mirror every day and realize you are the leader and you better lead by example?
Yeah, exactly. And some people do it better than others, is what you're saying.
Look at how many restaurants say, well, the staff's my friends. We're all friends here. You're all friends. The staff don't want to be your friends. The staff wants to make money. Most of the staff tells you, we want to be motivated. Tell us what to do. He actually slapped me on the wrist a few times. Stop letting me come in late. Maybe I'll come on time if I get punished. They actually say that. The staff tells the owners that. So I'm like, can you see this? There's people who want to be led. That's why I always say I'm running an army. I'm the general in my army.
What is the turnover in your own restaurants like? I mean, do you have people that stay with you for years?
Yeah, I have people with me 10 years. I have people with me 15 years. But I have people who don't last 3 months. I have people who don't last 6 months. It never stops. And the work ethic today is worse than ever.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
people
that's
leave
the case.
And jump around, and I'm amazed. Yeah. Even in this economy.
Go
ahead.
No, I was just going to say that you talked earlier about all the distractions that people have. You know, you see these people that you, when you have the surveillance cameras on them with the cell phones, and they go out for the breaks after they start their shift. I mean, it must be really frustrating as an owner to have to deal with that.
It never stops. It never stops. You can never stop. They'll never stop. I mean, it is what it is. You have to evaluate your system constantly and look at the weakness, because your staff is studying what you do, how you do it, and they're looking for it as well.
But people want to be in the business and want to grow from it. You're probably a great boss to have, because you may be tough, and they know going in that you're watching them. But they probably learn from you, so they can move up.
Like Amy, I ask people, they come work for me, where do you see yourself in 5 years? They look at me, they don't know where they're going to be in 30 days.
Right.
They have no goals today. People have no goals. People don't want trials and tribulations. They want the easy path. There's no easy path. It never gets easier for me doing what I do, growing this company. At every level, I go through this heartache and pains and stress and making mistakes, but I say this is great because this is setting me up for the future. It's how you take things. It's how you take the negative and make it positive.
You have that positive energy, which I think is infectious, and that's why people love the show, I think, because they see you. You're such a larger-than-life character, and you come in, and you have all this passion. You also have a lot of compassion. I mean, you feel for these people, because there's some tender moments in the show where you'll talk to someone, and you see this restaurant is their lifeline. If they lose this restaurant, they're losing the livelihood for their family.
Yeah, listen,
I love people.
I love people.
Oh, no question.
Life made me tough. So, you know, things I've been through. I'm the baby of four boys. My brother beats me. My brothers beat me up every day. So, you know, it's okay. I have a tough mom. I had a tough life. But I like it, and I wouldn't change that for anything. You know, but of course I love people. I love kids because kids absorb it better. Kids are still a sponge. They're willing to listen and learn. Adults, a lot of times, they don't want to listen and learn.
Yeah, well, because they think they know it all. Like you said, they have an attitude, maybe, that they, you know, or they should have known it by now. I mean,
I'll tell you, this episode I just did, basically, this owner was extremely stubborn. You know, he was Sicilian-Italian. He didn't listen to his own wife. His wife was giving him great advice. He didn't want to hear it. You were never in business. You know what I've done the past 30 years. And I'm like, I don't care what you did 30 years ago. Who gives a shit? Your mortgage ain't getting paid. The bank don't care who you were or what you did 30 years ago. Nobody cares. You're living in the past, buddy. You know?
Yeah, sorry. What were some of the more, do you have a really outrageous story or two that you can share that maybe didn't make it on camera or maybe did, that you were even floored by?
No, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, it's the drinking, it's the working together, sleeping together. You know how many owners are sleeping with staff and staff sleeping with other workers? I mean, so, you know, that the people are people, you know, and it goes on in your business. And if you don't cross that, if you don't protect and have rules on that, before you know it, your bartender's sleeping with your waitress and the two of them are robbing you together because they feel they're here more and that they deserve it. These people will sell themselves that they deserve it. Well, you're not here that much, and you have two other restaurants, so you don't need the money. Well, me and my girlfriend, we're here more, so we can steal. They justify, and the both of them tell each other it's okay with their pillow talk. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's not good. Well, it's a lot of cash business, so you have to be careful, obviously, with tracking it. And it's amazing how many people
don't track
it. Well,
that's why you have to create boundaries. Like the kitchen, they can't make a food item without a dupe. Then the bar, they can't get a drink without a dupe. You don't let anybody else behind the bar, so the two bartenders are the only one accountable. And you create this identity. Then You know, there's tears behind the ball, what you could buy back, what you could do, what the manager could do. You try to create this as much as possible. But then you have to make sure everyone follows it. You could just give them a manual and say, here's the guide to this, and then they'll go, I didn't read that page. Nobody told me that.
Yeah.
So you have to test them on it.
What is funny is when you catch them in the act, they're all shocked that they had this little surveillance thing going on, and you'll tell them you did X, Y, and Z, and some people will try to backpedal like a kid, tries to backpedal, no, I didn't do it. You know, they get caught with the sugar crumbs on their face.
Yeah, they outright lie.
We have you on camera.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I didn't do that. Well, a lot of people, you know, they're so used to doing it, they don't realize it.
Yeah, we know you did it because we have it on camera.
Yeah, and people go, how do they hide the camera so good? I'm like, well, let me ask you something. How many times you go to work and you look up? How many people look up?
Now, when you expand your business, Uncle Jack's Steakhouse, are you allowed to, are you allowed to have cameras?
Yes, in all your businesses, you're allowed to have cameras.
Okay.
But, you know,
for
the
TV
show, you're not allowed to film it and then produce a show with it.
Right, oh, I got you. Okay.
Different legalities, but in every business you can have surveillance. I mean, look at every city everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You know.
So that won't hinder you as you expand?
No, it'll actually help you, you know.
Tell me a little bit about this home building business that you got into, and how did you get involved in that? It seems a little different than restaurants.
How I got involved, I had the one restaurant in Bayside. I grew up in Flushing, Queens. Me and my wife had my daughter, Lexi, and we were looking for houses, and I went on Long Island looking for houses, and they were $800 to $1 million for anything new that was decent, and it was all built with Home Depot, and the houses were hollow doors, and they were crooked, and you got carpeting in the rooms. You got one cable line. You got one hose outlet outside. And I'm like, how can they be charging all this money for this stuff? I know what things cost. I built the restaurant. I'm like, I'm going to build my own houses. And my wife's like, really? And so I started looking for pieces of property out east in the Hamptons. And I started with one house back in 2000. And it was a house that had a foundation in the ground. And it had a fire. So I went there, cleaned up the foundation, made a deal with the bank on a new style house, expanded the foundation, and then I designed and decorated the house, and I sold that to a director from One Life to Live, and he's a two-time Emmy winner, and he really loved the design because I personalized it, and he said, out of all the other builders and houses here, I bought your house because you did so many little extra things that no one else did, and that was different. Like I was there, like I said, I'm going to include a lot of this stuff in the house. I'm going to do this work because who wants to go buy a new home and then be told, well, this is an extra, this is an extra, this is an extra. Let's just do it. What's it going to cost me? $10,000 to do it and just basically beat my competition? So I really think my personality coming from the restaurant business and the service industry and caring so much about the customer, my client, that it really helped me. And then it would just snowball, and it would keep happening and happening and happening.
You can't do it all yourself, obviously, because you even though you have a lot of energy.
No,
you
I build people. I have,
project
managers. He's a great carpenter.
Right.
He's an ace wood guy. He's very artistic. I love working with artistic people that care about what they're doing. And I believe God's created so many great people on this earth, from a guy who could build beautiful birdhouses to a doctor. I feel like we need everybody, you know, and that's what's great. I love people. I love how they learn, why they learn, what makes them tick.
Yeah. Well, that does come through in the show. You have that, as I said, that energy and that love for people and to help them transform their lives, and you're really doing it. I mean, it's a fun show to watch, but it's also, you know, you have a lot of life lessons in there, and you do help people save their businesses and really transform their lives, those people that will follow the Willie plan.
I try as much as I can. I give it everything I got. I give them all my energy, you know, my years of experience. I try to simplify it as much for them. I try and simplify it for the viewer so they can get it. I do not overcomplicate it. You know, a lot of times people with these great educations try to make things sound so complicated nobody gets it, you know.
Yeah, we got to get out of our own way, the educated
You know, I have brothers that all went to college. They're dentists. They're very successful. But, you know, it's just that I'm taught from years of dealing with people, break it down, make it simple, they get it.
Yeah, and you have that street smarts and the work ethic, I think, is so key. You got to know it's hard work. It's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, and you have to take risk in life, and you can't be scared of failing. It's okay to fail. It's no big deal. In life, nobody knows if you're getting straight A's or not. Me and my brother argue. He's got my three nieces, and he's like, they need straight A's, and he went to college. And they're like, well, Uncle Willie, look at him. And he's like, oh, he's one in a billion. I'm like, does it really matter if they get a C-plus or a straight A-plus, Cliff? Like, and he argues with me, and I'm going to argue with him. I'm like,
right.
I don't think it really matters. I'm like, what makes you a great dentist? My brother's a great dentist. I said, what makes you a great dentist is your personality and the work you do and how you handle people. I'm like, there's dentists that are rock stars, smart guys, but they can't talk to people and handle them.
Right, but they got to know your stuff as a dentist. You got to know how to work around the mouth and do the right work. But, yes, I know what you're saying,
And
chair-side manner helps, too.
Yes, that's important.
It is important. It's all important.
And you got to have good breath. You got to have a nice breath as a dentist.
Yeah.
I remember
going
to a dentist when I was a kid. He had bad breath. I told my mother, I can't go to this guy. His breath stinks, Mom. She's like, what do you mean?
Yeah,
I'm like,
that
the guy's in my face breathing. His breath is horrible. You know?
I had that experience once, too, yes.
You too, right?
Yeah, that's not good. That's not a good sign. But, yeah, you have a really infectious personality. I know you're doing so many things with it. You just keep going because you have that energy and you love what you do, which is also key. You have to like what you do. I think one of the things that's funny on the show is you'll take people aside who are not doing such a great job, who have kind of maybe a low energy type personality, not very outgoing, and you'll say, you know, this might not be for you. If you don't love people, if you don't love this, this might not be for you. And that's great advice, too. Some people are not cut out to do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, that's the number one thing. And I even with kids today, I'm like, my own kids and my other friends' kids, at least try different things. Try as many jobs as you're younger to see what you like and enjoy. It's okay. Just try it. See if you like it.
Right.
When you like it and you love it, it won't be work.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and that's the most important thing. I don't look at this as work.
You'll be willing to do it.
I got four different jobs. I could care less. I love what I'm doing.
Exactly. That's the key, I think, loving it, and you're willing to go through what you have to go through and take those chances and work the crazy hours if you have to. But if you hate it, if it's like a drudge, you get up in the morning and you feel like, oh, my God, I have to go back to this restaurant
There's
or whatever
simple,
the job may
simple
be.
Simple philosophy, right? Take three steps forward, two steps backwards. I'm always a step ahead.
Here you go.
You know?
Perfect.
So what does that mean? That means I'm going to take the three steps forward. I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to take the chance. Maybe I'm not perfect. I'm going to learn. I did something a little wrong, so I take two steps back. But I'm still a step ahead of where I was. So I actually moved. People want to know why they go through 5 years, 10 years, 20 years of your life. They look back and nothing's changed because you haven't invited change. You didn't look to evolve. You're scared. You want to stick to what you know. Okay, what's the big deal about learning something new, trying something different?
Exactly. Right. So many great life lessons in that show, and I hope you have a long, successful run. I hope they do some little marathons, as our caller mentioned. It would be nice because we do miss you. It's not the same without you, Willie, but you're right.
Thank you very much. People get
hungry for it.
Yep.
Restaurant Steakout, it's on the Food Network. The new season will be starting sometime, we hope, this summer. Willie is in the middle of taping it, so I'm really honored that you stopped by and spoke with us for a few minutes. Find out more. You're at Twitter at Willie Deagle, also UncleJackSteakhouse.com for the restaurants, and I guess other updates on the FoodNetwork.com as well.
Thank you very much, Amy.
Thank you, Willie, and
no problem.
We'll be looking for you again. I appreciate it so much. Thank
you.
All
right, stay in touch. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Willie Deagle. What a great guy, and what a great show. It is the Amy the Thurkway Show. Reach out at 347-857-4505 via Twitter, of course. At AB Writes. We'll be back.
Well, you know who I think we should call?
Who?
Chicken Delight, Edith, because we ain't going to get no supper out of you.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fry. Cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And a radio up. A lot of seeds sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes. Feel the touch of a precious child. No mother's love. Well, I was raised up beneath the shade of a Georgia pine. And that's home, you know, where sweet pea pecan pine, homemade wine, where the peaches grow. And my house, it's not much to talk about, but it's filled with love that's grown in southern ground. And a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And a radio world, a lot of seeds on rise. See the love in my woman's eyes. Feel the touch of a precious child. No mother's love. And it's funny how it's the simple things in life that mean the most. Not where you live, what you drive, or the price tag on your clothes. There's no dollar sign on a peace of mind, just I've come to know. So if you agree, have a drink with me, raise your glasses for a toast to a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio world, a lot of seems alright. See the love in my woman. Feel the touch of a precious child. No mother's love. I thank God for my life. And for the stars and stripes, may freedom forever fly. Let it ring, salute the ones who died, and the ones that gave their lives, so we don't have to sacrifice all the things we love, like our chicken fries. Cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio world. Mother's love, you know, well, I'm a chicken fry. Cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio world, a lot of Steve's sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes, feel the touch of a precious child. No mother's love.
Chicken Fried, Zach Brown Band on the Amy Biff Arkoui Show, and the Police, Every Breath You Take, Willie Deagle may be watching you. Thanks again to the great restaurant Steakout Food Network star for joining us. Find out more and his Twitter feed at Willie Deagle. And at our Twitter feed at AB Writes, a couple of folks chiming in. Nixie says, great interview, great guest. Thank you, Willie. Can't wait for the new season, says Sean. And Bry says, I don't know. I think there are probably a lot of restaurants that still go out of business once he's done with them. No, no, he was pretty honest. He said some of them do. But, you know, it's not his fault. He can only do what he can do. You put a game plan in for him, lay it out for people, and if you don't follow it, you don't follow it. What can you do? It is a fabulous show, though, and he does have such great energy. I hope you're having a good, you had a good weekend, good week ahead. Yeah, spring has sprung, but maybe in the Northeast not so much. We could be seeing some snow Tuesday into Wednesday in New York. They're calling for, quote-unquote, accumulating snow. I'm not sure what that means, but I hope it's on the light side. New England, possible blizzard warnings in effect for Tuesday and Wednesday. Wow. So we're not quite done yet, but we're turning the corner. We're almost done. Any day now, we will be done, I hope. I hope you're doing well. We've got some great program notes coming up for you in April. We've got the book. We've got it pretty well booked, I think. We have fellow mystery author Nancy Rathborn will join us. Also coming up, oh, this guy is great, fabulous singer, songwriter, country star on the rise. Marshall Dane will join us. I've heard his music. It is fabulous. So he will join us with his inspiration and influences. And Tony Quantro joins us, too. He is someone who has brushed up against all kinds of fabulous people, and he will talk about his memoir. So those are all coming your way in April, which is just around the corner. No fool. And also our Spring Awakening show, we will do some great music. So if you have any requests that will get you in the mood for the spring season of renewal, feel free to join us, make them via Twitter at AB Writes with the Spring Awakening hashtag, or do so via the website amybetharkaway.com. That's also a place to go if you'd like inspiration to action, challenge information, or creativity coaching questions. A couple of shout-outs today to Glenn, who is back doing photography after a layoff or two. He says, "You got me focused, and I am back doing what I love. Thank you so much." Thank you, Glenn, for the note. I appreciate it. And Nixie. Hey, Nixie's joining us on the Twitter feed, again with a note about the Inspiration to Action Challenge. She says, I am reading this, writing again, poems, maybe stories in the offing. The challenge helped me refocus and reignite my passion. Thank you. Thank you, Nixie. It really is heartfelt to hear that. So reach out to the website. You can also find out more about the Eliza Gordon Mystery Series, both Killing Time and Dead Silent, available, of course, for ebook and paperback. AmyBethArkaway.com. I got the spring fever thing going, too. I don't know. I'm distracted. Trudy, stop waving things at me. Okay. upcoming writing workshop starting in the New York, Connecticut area in April. Also, find out more information at the website on that. And thank you to the Rollins Theater in Portland, Maine, for putting on my play, The Lost Mertz, as part of their TV on Stage festival. I appreciate that. Hope it went well. Plays about that took themes from TV, and I will play about sisters that are obsessed with the I Love Lucy series. It fit in nicely, I guess. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it all. So that's what we're doing. That's where we're at. I hope you're doing well. Anything big in the news? They have updates every minute on this missing Malaysian airline. The latest is they believe it was lost in the Indian Ocean, although, again, they don't really have definite proof. There were some objects found. That's the latest I heard. CNN is covering this thing 24/7. Is it too much? What do you think? I don't know. I mean, it's a tragic story, of course. The loss of lives are horrible. There's a mystery component to it, but they really don't know anything, and they have constant updates pretty much saying the same thing, which is essentially nothing, and yet CNN is doing it around the clock because I guess their ratings have gone up. I'm not sure. I don't know why. Are people riveted to the story? Because for me, it doesn't really have that, it doesn't captivate me that much because there's nothing new really to talk about, but I guess the speculation is there for a lot of people. So they do what they do in terms of ratings, and we all know about the shrinking pie that we have, this big media pie where everybody wants a sliver of it, everybody gets a sliver, but it's a small sliver. So perhaps people should just go with what they consider good programming and not just worried about chasing ratings. But that's a very lofty ideal I know I'm putting forth, probably one that doesn't make any sense to the powers that be. Be that as it may, I hope they find some answers and solace for those families, but it doesn't look like it's going to come out with a good ending, unfortunately. I hope you have a good ending to whatever you're doing today, and as Willie Deagle said, get out there and do what you want to do. You can make your destiny, and we always tell you, drive safe, play nice, dream big, and do what you need to do to take a step towards your goal. There is never any small step. Just do it. Embrace it, embrace your passion, and I think you're going to be a lot happier for it. Thank you, Trudy, for making the booking. I know you worked hard on it. We're so pleased with that. And Aurora, thank you for helping us out at the Twitter feed, ML at TCS headquarters. Have yourself a great week. We will talk to you again soon. Visit us on the Amy Beth Arkaway Show. We'll leave you with a couple of more fun food songs for the day. Thanks again, Willie Deagle. Take care.
You know I love that organic cooking. I always ask for more. And they call me Mr. Natural on down to the health food store. I only eat good sea salt, white sugar don't touch my lips. And my friends is always begging me to take them on macrobiotic trips. Yes, they are. Oh, but night I take out my strong box that I keep under lock and key. And I take it off to my closet where nobody else can see. I open that door so slowly, take a peek up north and south. Then I pull out a Hostess Twinkie and I pop it in my mouth. Yeah, in the daytime I miss healthy as I can be. But at night I'm a junk food junkie. Good Lord, have pity on me. Well, at lunchtime you can always find me at the Whole Earth Vitamin Bar, just sucking on my plain white yogurt from a hand-thrown pottery jar, and sipping little hand-pressed cider with a carrot stick for dessert, and wiping my face in a natural way on the sleeve of my peasant shirt. Oh yeah. Ah, but when that clock strikes midnight and I'm all by myself, I work at Combination on my secret hideaway shelf, and I pull out some Fritos corn chips, Dr. Pepper, and an Old Moon pie. Then I sit back in glorious expectation of a genuine junk food high. Then I get my Miss Pat. Oh yeah, in the daytime I'm Mr. Natural, just as healthy as I can be. Oh, but at night I'm a junk food junkie. Good Lord, have pity on me. Alright. My friends down at the commune, they think I'm pretty neat. Oh, I don't know nothing about arts and crafts, but I give them all something to eat. I'm a friend to old Yule Gibbons, and I only eat a homegrown spice. I got a John Keats autographed Grecian urn filled up with my brown rice. Yes, I do. Oh, folks, but lately I have been spotted with a Big Mac on my breath, stumbling into a Colonel Sanders with a face as white as death. I'm afraid someday they'll find me just stretched out on my bed with a handful of Pringles potato chips and a ding-dong by my head. In the daytime I'm Mr. Natural, just as healthy as I can be. But at night I'm a junk food junkie. Good Lord, have pity on me.
I am sitting in the morning at the diner on the corner. I am waiting at the counter for the man to pour the coffee, and he fills it only halfway, and before I even argue, he is looking out the window at somebody coming in. It is always nice to see you, says the man behind the counter to the woman who has come in. She is shaking her umbrella, and I look the other way as they are kissing their hellos, and I'm pretending not to see them, and instead I pour the milk. I open up the paper, there's a story of an actor who had died while he was drinking. It was no one I had heard of, and I'm turning to the horoscope and looking for the funnies when I'm feeling someone watching me, and so I raise my head. There's a woman on the outside looking inside. Does she see me? No, she does not really see me, 'cause she sees her own reflection, and I'm trying not to notice that she's hitching up her skirt, and while she's straightening her stockings, her hair has gotten wet. Oh, this rain, it will continue through the morning as I'm listening to the bells of the cathedral. I am thinking of your voice and of the midnight picnic once upon a time before the rain began. And I finish up my coffee and it's time to catch the train.
Oh, he's all right, just a little indigestion. Comes from eating his own words.
Need we miss a charming scene like this in some secluded rendezvous that overlooks the avenue with someone sharing a delight, chat, sip some bath and cocktails for two as we enjoy a cigarette to some exquisite chansonette. Two hands are sure to slyly meet beneath a serviette with cocktails for two. My head may go reeling, but my heart will be obedient with intoxicating kisses for the principal ingredients. Most any afternoon at five, we'll be so glad we're both alive. Then maybe fortune will complete her plan that all began with cocktails for two.
Hey, hell, I pay.